Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 217 all the stanzas. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. In tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. 1-4 of Psalter 217.
Portion of God's Word that we wish to read this afternoon you can find recorded in the book Genesis, and are of the 45th chapter. Genesis chapter 45, the first 15 verses. But first we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Genesis chapter 45. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God had sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years, in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he had made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, thus said thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household, and all that thou hast, come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye have haste, and ye shall haste, and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother's Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal Lord, we may gather together once again in this afternoon hour in thy house of prayer. And we bring with us all that is living within our hearts, for it cannot be left behind. Where we go, we bring ourselves with us. And thou dost know the inmost thought. Thou dost know the inmost desire. Oh, thou knowest that it is with us as those that have fallen so far away from thee, that there is no life, that there is no desire, that there is no longing and no hungering and no thirsting, and that there is no crying after thee, the true and the living God. And yet we are taught by our father and by our mother to come each one into the house of the Lord upon thy holy day. O Lord, could it please thee that thou may look upon us as those who are dead, dry bones, and that thou may be pleased to speak and to move with thy Holy Spirit to give that life from the dead that we cannot miss. As thou thyself has declared it, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We do consider in these weeks thy own suffering in the flesh and thy own descending into hell, thy own descending into the grave, into death, in order that thou mayest bring forth life. Oh, for that seed that must fall into the ground in order for it to bring forth life. Oh, that it may be for each and every one of us together. Oh, that we could not do without that blessing. Oh, work it, Lord, in the hearts of young and old. And when we do consider together what thou hast done for the sake of thy people, oh, that we may desire to be included therein. For thy servant did say, surely he hath borne our griefs, and he hath borne and carried our sorrows. But we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Oh, how we must be included by thee. For if we stand on the outside of this, oh, then we miss the blessing with all our religion. Oh, Lord, convert us. Do forgive and take away our many sins. And do wash and cleanse us in that precious and all-atoning blood of thy dear Son. Oh, grant to young and old an impression of the seriousness of life. And when all about us, then we do hear of sickness, of sufferings, and of death. And when all about us, the consequences of our fall are evident. And that final punishment, which thou hast declared in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And that is also coming upon each and every one of us. Oh, give us then eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand, and that thy Spirit may grant us life that goes out after thee, and thy dear and only begotten Son. Oh, that that blessed Mediator may become so in the eyes of young and old. Care for all that are afflicted, all that are sick in the body and also in the mind. Lord, thou knowest thou hast created our body, and thou hast created our mind, and thou must uphold and strengthen it every moment. Oh, that thou may watch over them and give a cry to thee in all of the needs and the cares of those who do suffer and all those that do need thee in special ways. Give to feel and to experience that thou livest and that thou art a prayer giving, a prayer hearing, and a prayer answering God. So that also all the natural afflictions may be for our profit as we are traveling between the cradle and the grave, and that we may receive instruction in that one thing that is needful. Wilt thou be with all those that are sent to bring thy word? Increase thou their number, and wilt thou grant also thy spirit in a rich measure? Oh, that we may be taught and instructed from above, and that we also may be able to teach others, and that it may be evidently not the word of man, but the word of God. That thou may remember our schools also, our own school in the great need for instructors in the future, that thou may look upon us. Oh, that thou may hear us, Lord, in all this need, and that thou may supply as thou alone art able to do those who are wilt thou bind it upon the hearts of some, that they may go forward in this work, and that they may stand before our children day by day. That they may be instructed in the things of this life according to thy holy word and everlasting testimony. Oh, that thou may remember us all together also as parents. Oh, help us to be faithful in all the duty that thou dost lay upon our shoulders. And give us also to feel something of the preciousness of that baptism that thou hast given to us and unto our children. Oh, for thou dost say therein that thou wilt work among us. Oh, Lord, thou hast preserved it to this very moment. And thou dost give that that covenant may still be made evident in the midst of thy church. And thou who dost and always uphold thy own word, could it please thee then, who hast given unto us the outward sacrament, and that thou may also give us to lay upon our knees before thee, and that thou may also sanctify and bless it, and that thou will do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Look thou upon us in this afternoon hour. Do strengthen us for this labor of our hands, and give to us what is necessary in mind and body and in soul together for the labors that thou dost lay upon us. And wilt thou grant thy blessing in this hour? A little opening, O Lord, a little freedom if it could please thee. But wilt thou especially give a place to receive it, that it may be sanctified and blessed to young and old together. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 170 all the stanzas. Praise waits for thee in Zion. All men shall worship there and pay their vows before thee, O God, who hearest prayer. And what follows, the last collection today, is for the building fund. Psalter 170, all the stanzas. Thank you. Congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the fourth verse of the chapter that was read to you, Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45, the fourth verse, only these words: "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. So far, the words of our text. A blessed invitation to come near. We want to see in the first place from whom that this invitation comes, and in the second place, to whom this invitation comes. A blessed invitation to come near, first from whom, and second, to whom this invitation comes. Come near to me. Who of us is able to realize the full extent of the blessedness of these few simple words? The love, the compassion, the desire, and the forgiveness that is lying in these words. We are not ignorant of such desires amongst our own relations, because we would quickly say to our own children, to our own parents, we would say, come near unto me, with a desire that we may live, that we may commune with one another. But in these words, there is actually so much more. And why? That is because of the person who is speaking these words. What do we read? We read that he is the governor over the whole land. That there is only one that is higher than him in the land, and that is Pharaoh. Who is that man? You'd say that must be the son of Pharaoh, because that would make sense that he puts his own son next in command. Or if Pharaoh has not a son, you say, well, then he must be his strongest and his smartest general. Or he must be the wisest of all his magicians. And yet it is not so. But this man is one that Pharaoh has taken out of the dungeon. He is a man that Pharaoh has taken from the pit. He is a man that was a slave. He is a man that was a foreigner. He was a stranger to Pharaoh and to all of his house. Who is that man, boys and girls? Oh, you say that man is Joseph. That is right. He is Joseph. That is a wonderful story, is it not? You like to hear about Joseph, right? Why? Why do you like to hear about Joseph? Well, you say that is a beautiful story. And what makes that story so beautiful? Well, that story is actually so beautiful because we see in it the hand of the Lord so clearly. We see in it that there are men, and those men, they are plotting against Joseph. And yet the hand of the Lord that is so evident, that the Lord, he is taking care of Joseph. And so there are so many things that are to the honor and to the glory of the Lord. There are so many wonders that we can read of in that story. Are there also wonders that will be heard when you would write your life story from the cradle to the grave? Are there then also wonders of the Lord that may be evident in your own life? Joseph, he is a goodly person. Joseph, he is a godly man, a young man already in his youth already. And then he did fear the Lord. He was an upright man. He was an honest man. Can that be said of you also, young people? But Joseph, he was also a persecuted man. And that is very often the case. And when there is a godly man, and that it will also be a persecuted man. We read of Joseph's brethren. And Joseph's brethren, they hated him. And we read that they envied him. We read that they could not speak peaceably unto him. We read that the brothers of Joseph, they have plotted against Joseph. And they have desired to slay him. But the Lord would not permit it. No, the Lord was watching over. And because the Lord was watching over, then they cannot slay, but they do sell him as a bondman into that land of Egypt, a slave unto the Midianites. So Joseph, he is brought into captivity. And then by false accusation, then he is descending even further into all of his suffering. Even into the prison itself. And now we are going to go for a moment from that story of Joseph, and we are going to proceed in time to the New Testament. And if we go to the New Testament and we see Stephen. Stephen, he was a deacon in the church. And Stephen, he was also a God-fearing man. He was a man that was zealous for the honor and for the glory of the Lord. And that man, he was accused. He was accused by some, that is, the enemies of the Lord. They said that Stephen, he has spoken blasphemous words against Moses, and blasphemous words against God. Stephen is brought into the council. He has to stand before the Sanhedrin. He has to give an account of his words. We also will have to give an account of his words. And Stephen, he must answer now for himself. And when we read what he answers, then we hear that he goes back. Goes back in the history of the Bible and the history of that Jewish people, and he begins to tell them about Abraham and how Abraham has come out of the land of Ur of the Chaldees. And then he begins to speak about Joseph and about Moses. He says how that the patriarchs, they were moved with envy, and that they have sold Joseph into Egypt. Thus, Stephen, he speaks about how that Joseph was rejected by his own brethren. And then he begins to speak about Moses, how that Moses was also treated the same by his own brethren. Moses came to his brethren there in the land of Egypt, and Moses, he has said to him that did the wrong, why smitest thou thy brother? And it was answered to him, as it evidently was going around among that people, who made thee a ruler over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killedst the Egyptian yesterday? And so Moses now has to flee. Moses now has to become a stranger in that land of Midian. And for 40 long years, Moses, he must be away from his own people. Why? Why did Stephen tell these histories of Joseph and of Moses? Well, Stephen, He spoke by the inspiration of the Spirit of the Lord. And Stephen does set both Moses and Joseph as types. Types of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he shows how that both Joseph and Moses, they were rejected by their own brethren. They were cast out by their own house. And how that Joseph and Moses, they have both become the deliverers after their rejection of their own people. Thus, when we may now read the scriptures, and we may read about the humiliation, the rejection of Joseph, the persecution of Joseph, and then we may be reading about the rejection and the persecution and the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the special son of his own father. He is the only begotten son of his father. He is the beloved son of his father. He is the son to whom that the father has given that coat of many colors. He is the son whom the father has given a special place, a special station amongst all of those whom he would call children. But he was envied. And he was denied that station that his father has given unto him. Because that Jewish people, the Pharisees, the scribes, when he did declare that he was the Son of God, they said, "Whom makest thou thyself?" Thus they have envied him and they have denied him that place that his father has given unto him. They could not speak peaceably to him. In love, he came to them, even as Joseph. He came to his brethren to see how that they fared. But they have seen him coming from afar off. And immediately they begin to conspire against him, to slay him. They are full of hatred. They are full of wickedness. With their own hands, they do not do it. No, but they give him over. They give him over into the hand of the enemy. Deliver him to the heathen, that they may do with him as they require. So Calvin, he says that that descent of Joseph into the land of Egypt, that was a kind of a death. Indeed, it was an emblem. It was an emblem of the deep humiliation, the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was bound, who was carried as a slave, who was carried as a captive before his enemy, who was there falsely accused, who was there shamefully entreated also by the enemy, who was tried, who was wrongfully put to death. It is remarkable when we read here this history of Joseph that you do not read that Joseph complained. Not when he was in that house of Potiphar, not when he was in that prison. He did state the unjustness, certainly, but he never complained as an emblem, as a type of him who was going as a lamb unto the slaughter and who opened not his mouth. come near to me. Who is speaking? It is Joseph. Where is he? Oh, he is sitting upon the throne. He is sitting upon his place in the land of Egypt. He is sitting as the right hand of Pharaoh himself. So how did that happen? Yes, again, that is such a wonderful story. That is a story that we love to hear, boys and girls. Oh, how that the Lord has taken Joseph, despite all the desires and the intentions of all that are round about him, how he has taken him from prison, how he has taken him from death, and how he has exalted him to sit upon the throne. Despite all the wickedness of his brothers, despite all their intention to do him evil, despite all the wickedness of the wife of Potiphar, the Lord, he is watching over even the sin of everyone. And he is guiding everything by his providence, upholding all men even in their sinful actions, that they may do his good pleasure, that he is governing and directing everything unto a certain determinate end. That is the Lord's way. That is the way of the Lord with his own son, that he has brought him into the dust of death, and then he has exalted him out of that death. And that is now the way of the Lord also with his own people. That is now how that the Lord's people, they may speak about the wonders of the Lord in their life. And when they may speak about how that they have brought themselves into that pit, and how that the Lord, he has delivered them out of that pit. That exaltation of Christ that is so full of wonders. The enemy, they cannot do anything against the hand of the Lord that will carry out the justice of the Lord in the case of his own son and in the case of his own children. Come near to me. Who is speaking? Oh, it is not only Joseph speaking. No, it is also the antitype. It is him whom Joseph did represent by the holy inspiration of that Spirit of the Lord. This is the reason for the writing of the Holy Scriptures. Come near to me. Who is speaking? It is that rejected Lord, who has gone down into the lower parts of the earth, who has suffered, who has died, and who was exalted by the Lord to that throne of glory. Come near to me, who can fathom the full extent of the blessedness of these words. And everything that is implied in these words, especially when we hear to whom that these words are spoken, that is our second thought. Come near to me. Joseph is sitting upon his throne. Before him stand 10 men. Who are those men? They are his brethren. Joseph's brethren are come. 10 brothers. How do they stand there? They stand there in their need. They stand there in their great need. What is their need? They're hungry. They're hungry. Those brothers, if they were not hungry, those brothers had never come down. But there is a great famine in the land. There is nothing to eat. And therefore, those brothers, they must come down. Because if it continues the way it is, then those brothers with all of their family, they are going to die. And what do they do? Oh, they have heard. They have heard that there was corn in Egypt. There is food in Egypt. And so, with that need, they are going down to see if they may get some food from Egypt. They take money in their hands. No, they do not expect to receive it for nothing. But they will pay for it. They will pay much. They will pay everything for it because they are hungry. And their little ones are hungry. And it is either life or it is death. Are you hungry? No, we do not mean naturally hungry. We hope that we may never come into such a situation as these brothers have come. But is your soul hungry? Or is your soul alive because we need life? And if the Lord gives to us life, then we will hunger. Hunger that is a sign of life. Then we cannot miss food. Oh, maybe you have heard in this place or in that place, oh, there is food for the soul. And there you go seeking. A hungry man, a hungry woman. Oh, that I may eat something. That I may have just a little crumb that may sustain me. That I may be just a little encouraged because I am despondent and I am afraid that I am going to die and that I am going to perish. Oh, and when you have come there, oh, did things only become worse? Because how was it now with these brothers? Oh, when they come there in their hunger, then those brothers, they find themselves all of a sudden, they are actually standing in the court. They are standing in the court. And there is an accusation that is against them. That accusation that says you are spies. You have not come here just to eat and to drink. You have come here to look over the nakedness of the land. You are an enemy. And you have come here nothing but with a wrong purpose. You have come here with a false purpose. Joseph's brothers, they are standing in the court of Pharaoh. You know the history. They do not know this man that is sitting on this seat that they are standing before, that is making this accusation. No, they do not know this man. But this man, he knows who they are. He knows, he recognizes who they are. He tries them. He tries them in his wisdom. What does he want to know? He wants to know if there was a change in those brothers. That is what is necessary in our life. Change. Was there ever a change in your life? And if the Lord would now try you, as Joseph has tried his brothers, would he find that here is a man, a woman, boy or a girl, was very, very different than they used to be. That is what Joseph here is looking for in his wisdom when he is hiding himself from his brethren. And when he tries them, what does he find? Oh, little does he know that those brothers, little do those brothers know that this man knows who they are. Little does his brothers know that this man understands what they are saying when they're speaking one to the other. What do we read? And they knew not that Joseph understood them. Are there not a people who do not understand, who do not know that the Lord understands them? When he is still silent, and when he is still saying nothing, and when they are laying in their need, and when they are laying in all their trouble, and all the things that go on in their heart and in their mind, that the Lord, he is listening. And that the Lord, he understands it. What do we read here? And they said one to another, "We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us." That is something that never left those brothers. Not from the very day that it happened. They have lived with that every day. One day more, one day less. They lived with their father. And they have seen his grief. And they've tried to push it away. And one day they are more successful. And another day they are less successful. But it is now the burden which they have carried with them their whole life. It is now many years later. It is still with them. You understand that, young people? Not only young people, all of us. Do we understand it? What did David say? "Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. Be sure your sin will find you out." It didn't leave these brothers. And now these brothers of Joseph know what their sin is. Now there is an accusation. You're spies. You're deceitful men. And the Lord brings this home to them. And they come to know that they are deceitful men, but they cannot say it. What do they say? They say, "We are 10 men and one brother. The youngest, he is at home. And one," yes, "and one what? And one, he is not. He is not." What a whole story there is in those two words. He is not. But they cannot see it. They cannot see it unto this man. They cannot come out with it. It is living in their heart. He is not. It is burning in their heart. He is not. Especially when there are accusations. Other accusations that are coming against them. You are spies. You are deceitful men. And in their heart, they say guilty. 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 David, he says, when I kept silence, my bones, they waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Cannot say it. But among themselves, they say, we are verily guilty. Concerning what? Yeah. Concerning what? Oh, there was one sin. Say, had more sin? Certainly. They had much sin. There's one sin that is here brought into the foreground. There is one sin that the Lord has convinced them of. We are verily guilty concerning our brother. Joseph hears it. And Joseph understands it. Do you know that the Lord understands you? And Joseph turned himself about and wept. Is that not a wonder? Let us sing. 419, stanza 2. A mighty stream of foul transgression prevails from day to day. But thou, O God, in great compassion will purge my guilt away. 419, stanza 2.
Thank you.
see the brothers of Joseph. They are standing before their judge. He is angry. Their own sin that testifies against them. Sin against their own brother. And now suddenly, all of a sudden, everything changes. All of a sudden, this stern, this angry man, he begins to weep. He begins to weep loudly. What do we read? We read, "And the house of Pharaoh heard." Those brothers, they are astounded. Those brothers, they do not understand what is happening. But all of a sudden, the harshness and the sternness of the moment that is completely taken away. And he wept aloud. All of a sudden, he exposes something of the sensitivity, of the tenderness of his character, of his being. All of a sudden, they feel something of softness. All of a sudden, they feel, they experience something of the warm-heartedness of the nature of this man. They feel this is not just a stern and angry judge. But this is a man. This is a man. This is a man of flesh. He is a man that has a heart. He is a man actually that is as one of us. And he wept aloud. "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" Those brothers, they stand there. They look at him. They cannot move. They cannot speak. The Bible says they could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Joseph. What has gone through the minds of those brothers in that moment? Their entire life that is flashing before their eyes. It is a wonder that before that Joseph has spoken those words, "I am Joseph," that he first began to weep. Otherwise, in the sternness and in the hardness of that moment, their heart had failed them like Nabal's, to become as a stone. Those brothers, they cannot answer him. They cannot speak. Their sin, their particular sin against their brother that is now set before their eyes. They have hated him. They have envied him. They have conspired against him to slay him. They have sold him as a slave. Fear that grips them. Fear of vengeance. A righteous recompense. A just punishment. But it is mollified. How? By weeping. by the weeping of Joseph, oh, see how tenderly that Joseph is dealing with his brethren. They stand in their guilt. They stand in their need. Joseph, weeping, what does he say to them? Or when they had expected that he would have said, cast them into the prison, he says, come near to me. David, he says, thy gentleness hath made me great. Come near to me. That is now how that exalted Savior is speaking to the hearts of his guilty people who have rejected him. With great tenderness, he is drawing them once again unto himself. Come near to me. And they came near. Is that not a wonder? When those brothers, they approached unto Joseph and they came near. Oh, how the Lord is able to draw unto himself a trembling, guilty church. When he is revealing himself in the life of his people, oh, then he is enticing them in his compassion. He is drawing them that they may draw near unto himself. That may take place in the house of the Lord, indeed. And yet it is not a public matter. What did Joseph say? He says, have all men out from me. And what do we read? There stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. Oh, that is a personal matter. Now, between Joseph and his brethren, he says to them, come near to me. What does he do? Does he pass over their sin? Does he say, you never did it? Oh, no. Oh, no. He is honest with his brothers. But how? Oh, that is in such a tender place that he brings them close to himself. And with tears in his eyes, he says, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Oh, the Lord, he deals so tenderly with his children, not in harshness, not in sternness as they deserve, but so soft in his accusations and so gentle in all of his admonishments. It's true. Oh, that sin that has to be confessed. There is nothing covered that will not be revealed. There is nothing hid that shall not be known. But when we will have to stand before him on that great day of days, then it will be so different than when he may come to us with our sin while we are still in a day of grace. Oh, that greater Joseph, whose sufferings they were so far above his type, sufferings by the hands of his own brethren, sufferings by the hands of his own church. They did to him whatsoever that they listed. They conspired to slay him, so that he descended into the pit. So he had to lay in that grave. But congregation, did it ever become our sin? You say, I do not have that same persecution in my heart as those Pharisees and those scribes had against the Lord Jesus Christ. There are degrees, yes, of every sin. But he has piped unto us, and we have not danced. And he has mourned unto us, and we have not lamented. The children of Israel, the Jewish people, they were not all the same as the Pharisees. They were not all the same as the scribes. In their plotting against the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet that people, they followed their leaders in a blind way. And the Lord Jesus says that they both fell into the ditch. Thus they also as a people, the one with a greater degree of enmity than another, but all together they have cried out, crucify him, crucify him. Did it now ever become our own sin? You know, you read in the book of Acts, there the apostle Peter, and then he is preaching unto that people. And there the Lord, he shows himself that he is so ready to forgive the sin of that people. Yes, then it was stated as it was. Then we read there, Jesus of Nazareth, that ye have taken and by wicked hands you have crucified and you have slain him. And yet it was mollified. How? Well, what does Peter say? That it was all by the determinate counsel of God. Oh, that was not to make for them an excuse. But it was all in the hand of the Lord. And he exhorts that people to repent of that sin. What did Joseph now say to his brethren? He says, it is true, my brethren. You have sold me into Egypt. But he says, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye have sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Thus the rejection of Joseph that was by his brethren. But those brethren, they were not the first cause. They were not the primary cause that Joseph has gone down into Egypt. No, neither were the Jews the first cause or the primary cause that the Lord Jesus was slain. God himself, he has stood above the sin of that people, not doing it, not accountable for it, yet decreeing it, and yet directing it. For what? He says, to preserve life. Through the death of his son, to preserve a posterity in the earth for a people to give food unto the hungry. Come near. Come near to me, I pray you. Why does he say that? Because those brothers, they stood so far away. They stood so far away. And they did not dare to come near him. All those brothers looked as if they would like to flee. And now Joseph, he sees their need. He sees their hunger. And he knows their guilt. And what they are feeling in that moment, that they do not deserve food and drink out of this governor's hand. They have conspired against him to slay him. They have sold him into Egypt. And shall they now ask him for a piece of bread? Come near to me, I pray you. Stand not so far away. Do not be afraid to approach unto me. Come near to me, I pray you, for I am good and ready to forgive and full of compassion to all them who call upon me. Come near to me. I pray you, for I am sent before you, not to slay you, sent before you into suffering, sent before you into the dust of death. For what purpose? To preserve your life. To preserve your life. And to save your lives by a great deliverance, even a guilty people. Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou draw us near to thee, or that we may feel something of our guilt and of our sin, but also of thy great compassion and of thy pity in all of our great need. O, draw us, Lord, then we will run after thee, and that together we may receive that sustenance that we cannot miss as we go through this world, and as we hope to lay it before thee also in this coming week. Wilt thou be with us together when we hope to gather in thy house? Give us yet a good day together in thy favor. And wilt thou supply for us each one in all the needs and cares of this life, that this need may become the foremost, that it may come in the foreground, and that there may be a needy, a hungry, and a thirsty people. Wilt thou forgive and take away our many sins, and humble us for the help that thou hast given in this hour. Crown it with thy blessing, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 166, 2, 3, and 4. Against us, sin has battled hard. For help, we look to thee and pray. Thou our transgressions wilt forgive. Yea, thou wilt take them all away. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 166.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.